This week's episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers rents premium strollers in the Orlando area. Whether it be a single, double, or special needs, they can help you out. Kingdom Strollers is also Disney approved, which means they can deliver directly to your hotel and pick it up when you're done. The next time you're headed to the Orlando area, don't pay extra to fly with your stroller. Save that room in your trunk for those extra pair of tennis shoes you'll know you'll need. Contact our friends over at Kingdom Strollers at www.kingdomstrollers.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome back to the Disney Nerds Podcast. I'm Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. This is show number 170. And today, we wanted to talk a little bit about discovering new things at Walt Disney World. Jimmy's with me. Jimmy, what is happening, buddy?
Hey, man, how's it going? I am fantastic. I feel like it's been a while since I've talked to you. Any chance?
I think it has, too. Yes.
Any chance you're going to be popping up in the middle of my vacation in February?
Oh, you know, we're still working on it. Not sure just yet, but you never know, right? We're not set yet, but we're working on that. That's
I feel
sure.
like but my speaking, vacations are not the same without you there.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Now, along those lines, you and I and all of the members of the Disney Nerds, we love to go to Walt Disney World, and we do it all the time, right? And sometimes it's just to go and spend 4 days in the parks or a week in four parks in Disney Springs. But every once in a while, you're after that something a little extra, something special, something that you can learn a little bit about how the magic happens. And in some cases, there's quite a few, call them backstage tours, that happen throughout Walt Disney World. And what we were hoping to do is talk about a few of those. And I know you had some recent experiences with a backstage tour.
For any of the listeners who have been listening for a while, it would be noted that on previous shows that I've always said that I was kind of afraid to go on one because I didn't want to know too much. But a very good friend, Lisa, a couple weeks ago, Lisa and Angela, me and Kim went down for a trip, kind of an extended weekend, kind of to celebrate my birthday as well as Lisa and Angela's birthdays too, that were all kind of within a couple months of each other. Without me knowing it, they booked the Keys to the Kingdom tour. So I got to go on the Keys to the Kingdom tour as a surprise. I didn't find out till the day before we went. And I tell you, I would say I was wrong. And that's tough for me to say, Sam. You know I'm pretty hard-headed, and it's hard for me to admit when I'm wrong.
Occasionally.
But I would tell you that I was wrong. It did not ruin anything for me. If anything, it kind of reinvigorated the passion a little bit.
As Disney nerds, and if you're listening to this, you are, there are so many different experiences that you can go through with the behind-the-scenes tours. They do them at all of the parks, and they have some that go to multiple parks. So the one that Jimmy's referring to, we'll get into in a few minutes, but that's just over at the Magic Kingdom. But you can do things, for example, over at Animal Kingdom, where you can do a backstage tells, where you get to look behind the scenes of what it takes to help the animals and help them thrive, and a lot of things happening behind the scenes there.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Cool. And if y'all have any questions for me, please let me know. I'm pretty laid back. But my name is Hillary. I work at the Wild Africa Pack. You're kind of standing in our Outfitters post right now. It's a three-hour tour. How we take care of our animals, what we do, you can let me know. But we do, like you were saying, take a lot of initiatives in the conservation world. It sounds like a storyline that Disney made up because, you know, we're full of, you know, that really rich storytelling here in our parks. But at Animal Kingdom, we actually are a researching facility. So we do a lot of research here with our animals that have actually gone on to help out some animals in the wild. One of the projects that I really like talking about involves our elephant's head.
Or if you've been on the safari, you've seen people on the Wild Africa Trek, which is one of the tours where you get, you know, up close and personal with some of the animals and really a different sense of what's happening out there on the savannah. And you know what? Most of these tours are an extra cost, not all of them, and we'll get to that. So there's a couple at Animal Kingdom. Over at Epcot, there's Behind the Seeds. And Jimmy, you've probably seen the people inside Living with the Land walking back and forth, and you're wondering, what are they doing back there?
How's it going, guys?
Oh, all right, how are you?
All right, good, good. Scoot on in. We'll make, we're, it's like a big campfire. No, fire, sorry. Good morning, guys. My name is Jeff. I'll be your tour guide today. A lot of what you're going to get to see in the greenhouses today is innovative in agriculture. It is truly the future of agriculture. Now, it's not all brand new. It has been around for years, but it's now finally catching up to industry. Eventually, when population doubles, supposedly by the year 2050, we will have different ways to feed all of our family and all the people in the world, and this will be the way that we do it. We will get to see a lot of things. Now, what I like to do is introduce myself, tell you a little bit about me, and then have you guys go around and tell me about you, because by the end of this, we're going to be like a big family. We'll even have a family reunion 10 years from now, behind the scenes tour. Well, like I said, my name is Jeff. I'm from Arizona. I just got done at the University of Arizona with my degree in agricultural education. I will hopefully be teaching high school agriculture by this time next year. I love working with students. I did my student teaching last semester. High school students are, they're the future of us, so they will be the ones that that will be feeding us when we're older. So those are the ones that I want to give my knowledge to. I have about 10 years experience working in greenhouses and hydroponics. Ever since I was in high school, I had a lot of fun with it then, so I figured why not stick with it. This is our temperate greenhouse. Down here we like to grow things that can survive in a higher temperature. It's normally about 10 degrees hotter in this greenhouse than all the other greenhouses. Right now we are lucky because you guys are on the early tour, which means it's not that hot yet. It's normally about 95 degrees in here, but it is definitely a lot of fun to work in. Now, remember how I told you this was sanitary sand? This guy right here, I'm just kidding. This is for our feet. These actually go on our feet. Anytime we work in the sand, we have to wear these booties for the fact of sanitation. We want to make sure that we don't spread any diseases or any bugs or anything into the sand itself. Now, how many of you have ever heard of the Scoville Heat Index? All right, who can tell me about it? Craig, what do you know about the Scoville Heat
Index? I remember how hotter they are.
Yeah, it's the heat intensity rating of pepper plants. So, for instance, a bell pepper, would that be high or low?
Low.
Very low, 0 to 5, good job. 0 to 5 on that scale. Now, we have the orange habanero here. Used to be the world's hottest pepper, not anymore. That comes in about 500,000 units compared to a bell pepper. Very, very, very high. Now, we have over here also, since we're at... I looked it up this last weekend. It's not the hottest anymore. It used to be the world's hottest pepper up until a couple years ago. It is called the Boot Jalokia Ghost Pepper. It's like the third hottest pepper in the world. It is actually about 1.1 million units on the Scoville scale. So a couple months ago, we took just one of those little chili peppers, or one of those little peppers, cut it up, put it really small, put it in our pot of chili. For all of the interns, about 20 of us, and we ate it. So if you've ever seen the cartoons where flames shoot out of your ears, well, that's kind of how it felt.
We may actually go ahead and do that in a couple weeks here when we're down. So I'm looking at allears.net, which is a great resource, and they have a list of all the tours, and it looks like the tours price-wise go anywhere from $20 per person, which would be Behind the Seeds, which is the least expensive tour you can do, to $250 per person.
Yeah,
which
there's
would be
some pretty big
Wild Africa Trek, and what's the other one, the multi-park, that kind of an all-day thing.
Yeah, so let's keep going down these real quick. So Behind the Seeds we talked about, then there's the Aqua Tour, which is over at Living with the Land. You can dive with the dolphins, which is kind of cool. And I guess I wanted to go through these really quick because there's so many things you could do that are outside of just showing up at a park and doing your fast passes and getting into attractions.
I will make a note about the dolphins and the dive quest ones, that in order to participate in those, you do have to be a certified diver.
And, you know, you bring that up. There are age restrictions in a lot of these. So, you know, go check it out.
also offer DVC, AP, and Disney Visa discounts as well.
You always have to ask. Always ask. There's a special number. Some of these you can't book online. You're going to call 407-WDW-TOUR, and there's links to that at My Disney Experience.
Okay, so can everybody hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Wonderful. Perfect. All right, so as I said, my name is Gerald. So we are going to be going backstage. This is a backstage magic tour, so we're going to see the inner workings backstage at Walt Disney World that guests do never get to see, and in some cases, some cast members never get to see either, and what makes this magical place be so magical. I will ask that when we go through the backstage areas, and I will remind you that there will be no photography or video recording of any kind. Now, if you look over to your left-hand side, you'll see the Transportation and Ticket Center. It's obviously not too busy of a day here at the Magic Kingdom, but in the Transportation and Ticket Center alone, you can fit Disneyland in California, California Adventure, the Downtown Disney District, and all of the parking, all there in Anaheim, California, in the Transportation and Ticket Center for the Magic Kingdom. This is just the parking for the Magic Kingdom.
Undiscovered Future World, I think, is really cool. I know that Ed did that one. That's where you got to go underneath and see the piano underneath the Living Seas. Sounds really cool.
That is cool.
Then Magic Kingdom tours, Marceline to Magic Kingdom. That sounds like a pretty cool one.
From what I understand about that one, it seems to be kind of a Keys to the Kingdom light, if you will.
Well, it's a full family tour, too, so this one's family-friendly, which means, yeah. Well, you got to be 12 years old, but you're probably not going to go into the Utilidors yet, which is cool.
Back even in the 50s, when he was thinking about Disneyland, Walt really wanted there to be a land similar to Liberty Square. It would have been called Liberty Street, and it would have been a branch off of Main Street. And in Liberty Street, he wanted there to be an attraction that would feature all of the presidents reciting portions of their famous speeches. Sounds pretty familiar, yeah. But back in the 50s, we didn't have the technology to bring that to light. So he had to just settle with Main Street. And so then, when he was creating Disneyland, it was kind of all-encompassing. Even when he was on vacation, he was still thinking about what things he could bring or improve upon in Disneyland. So him and his wife, Lillian, one day they were on vacation in Louisiana, and they went to this thrift shop. And in this thrift shop, there was a tiny mechanical bird. And he was supposed to move and squawk, I guess, in time, but he wasn't quite synchronized. So he kind of went chirp, 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 kind of like an old Godzilla movie. And Walt brought this bird back to his Imagineering department, and he said, "I really want you to make this bird look realistic." Okay. So they took it back, they worked on it. It took a long time, but finally they got this bird to go chirp, 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 chirp. They knew he was going to love it. Well, they brought it out to show Walt, and he said, "The bird stopped breathing." They were like, "Well, Walt, it would be very difficult for us to engineer the bird smaller so that he'd be able to fit even more mechanics inside of his torso, and it's really not worth it because the bird already gets across the feeling that he's alive." He's like, "Well, I wanted him to be realistic and real birds breathe, so take it on back." So they go back again. They did completely re-engineer that bird, and this time they fit a bellows system inside the chest, and they had to find special fabric that would be able to expand and contract with his movements. But this time they know Walt's going to love it. So they bring back the bird, and he did love it. He liked it so much that he said, "I want a whole room full of these birds." And that became the Enchanted Tiki Room, the first attraction with audio animatronics. And that really brought us a whole new world, so to speak. But we were able to bring to life things that wouldn't have been possible before when we would have to use real animals or actors.
Behind the steam trains,
love to
I
do
think
that
would be
yeah,
really
I'd love to do that.
Absolutely.
Do that.
The trains are down right now, but...
Thank you.
ahead, it comes shooting down this pipe, which extends down here. At the end of that pipe would be another piece of pipe with a nozzle that would direct the sand right onto the track in front of the wheel. We don't have that because we don't use the sand. Sand is required to give you extra adhesion, extra traction, especially in very slippery conditions like when there's ice on the rails. We don't have that happen often here anyway, going uphill. However, if you use sand, you're also putting additional wear on your track and on your wheels. So we've got a 2% grade, which is the maximum that was permitted on the Transcontinental Railroad. And that's a pretty steep grade for a steam engine. You don't hardly notice it if you're walking it. Now, will you hear people say, I'm going up to drive the train? Yes. Why? Because they're using their own colloquialism. It is not accurate. You are the engineer, you are the operator, or you are going to run the engine. That would be the correct term.
And does each train have its own personality?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Each train has its own personality, very much so.
Lily, who is our showgirl, she is kind of the prima donna.
If you don't treat her like a lady, and treat her very nicely, and sweet talk her, she's going to get you. And you got to watch what you're doing with her. You got to be very careful. Keep a real close eye on her. Because if she doesn't give you full attention, she'll suddenly go from having plenty of water to nothing in a blink, or so it'll seem. She'll drop her pressure 40 pounds in a blink. Garbage, you can burn leaves. You can burn congressional records. You can burn anything that'll burn. Or you can stick a pile of uranium in there, because it'll make heat. You would like a little more shielding for the crew before you do that. But you don't want to fry them as well. As long as you can make enough heat to boil the water about this high.
Then there's Backstage Magic, which takes you to four different parks, and you get to go behind the scenes of some really cool stuff. And, of course, there's some seasonal tours as well, Christmas-related and Yuletide fans.
Throw in an interesting note about the Backstage Magic tour. That one is $249 per person. But as, according to AllEars.net, theme park admission is not required. And I would say that is probably not true of most of them.
Yeah, with the exception of the resorts, because there are a few tours in the resorts. We did one as the Disney Nerd Podcast, the free tour over the boardwalk, which was one of our shows. So if you Google Disney Nerd Podcast boardwalk tour, you'll hear the audio for that. Ed and I talked about that a few weeks ago because of the changes that have happened on the boardwalk, which is another reason to do it again because they've changed.
Do you know if they're still doing it? We're going to have to call the boardwalk because at one time it was on the website as the Boardwalk Ballyhoo Tour. And I cannot find it on the Walt Disney World website anymore, which doesn't mean they're not doing it anymore. It just means they're not publicizing it anymore. So the people who were doing it kind of were doing that on their own. So it very well may still be available.
And they probably had to tweak it and make some changes to it. That's for sure. And one that I'd love to do is over at Fort Wilderness. There's a tour there as well that the Boardwalk Tour was based on. Another cool one, how about a Wilderness Segway tour over at Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground?
That's really cool.
And it actually brings up a point that I wanted to make very quickly, because we go to Walt Disney World a lot and we see these tours, and believe it or not, they change. Something that might be available now might not be available in a year or in a couple of months. For example, the boardwalk tour that Jimmy just brought up. So my advice is, if you can do it, do it. I did the Epcot Segway Tour two times. It's no longer available, and I absolutely loved that tour. Riding a Segway around World Showcase, listening to the tour guide tell you some details about World Showcase and what was happening. There's a Sam's Disney Diary out there. I think it was number 27 that's all about that Segway Tour. So I guess my point is, give it a shot. Try it out. See what you think.
I have to go watch that episode because I'd be interested in seeing that.
It's kind of cool. Actually, it was long enough ago that it was early, and I didn't have a GoPro, but it went ahead and had a tripod that I strapped to the GoPro itself. Because essentially they told me for safety, both of my hands had to be on the Segway. I couldn't hold a camera. So I was able to take my tripod and attach it, and we're going through a World Showcase. And then I sped it up in the video, so it looks like you're just flying around all the stuff. It was
okay,
cool.
I'm going to check that out as soon as we're done.
They still do a tour of World Showcase, but it's a walking tour.
It's called the Undiscovered, just like you were talking about, Ed did the Undiscovered Future World. It's the Undiscovered World Showcase.
And it is where you go back into China, and they tell you about all of the different things and the one emperor who's riding on a chicken and the history behind it, and absolutely just enhances. And I did that tour twice, two different tour guides, with two different backgrounds and two different sets of stories. Loosely the same, but it was really cool, right? The German village that is the train station or the model railroad, which was part of a food and wine festival, and it was so popular that it stuck around, and they gave us lots of stories about it. It was kind of cool.
Let me correct myself. It is not Undiscovered. It is World Showcase Destinations Discovered.
It's a great tour, and I would do that again myself. So I'm going to take my own advice and do a tour when we get down there.
I think that one's about – it looks like it's about $109 per person. It's a little longer than the Future World one, but the Future World one's only $64 per person.
Got it. And again, ask for discounts. You never know. DVC, AAA, Disney Visa card, ask for it.
Absolutely.
And, of course, the newest tour there, Jimmy, is that Star Wars tour that Ed and I talked about.
I did see that. That's pretty interesting. And it's a long
tour. And it's only
– it's a long tour.
It's 7 yeah, hours. And it's only $129 for 7 hours.
Yeah.
It includes the fireworks party, too, which is cool.
That is pretty
awesome. I did ask my kids about this one, and they told me no, we're not doing that. They're not as big a Star Wars fans as I am. But that's okay,
Nick,
because I'd love to do Nick would do it, but it's the other ones that weren't.
No. The younger ones. So you and Nick go and leave the younger ones behind.
For a Segway tour, because the Segway tour, there was an age restriction.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was at the time, but that was one where I went with part of the family, not all of us, but the half that didn't go was okay with that.
Gotcha.
Because they were doing their attractions
sure,
and doing the thing, and it was just a morning.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So that said, you got to go to Keys to the Kingdom, which, by the way, Sam's Disney Diary 49, an old one, Keys to the Kingdom, which is a combination of onstage, backstage, and you know what I liked about it? Kind of the explanation of onstage and backstage.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of thing. A lot of history.
I thought that was really cool. Tons.
Yeah, it was really good.
So you did it recently with Lisa.
Yep.
I've done that tour twice. I know Ed's done that tour.
I think that was Lisa's second time as well.
Yeah, I think Charlotte's done it. I think a lot of us have done it. So I'll leave it with, I absolutely love the tour. I would absolutely recommend it to anybody. The fact that they include lunch is just a bonus. You also get, you know, to ride a few attractions and hear some of the backstage stories about the attractions. And without giving things away, it's a great experience. And like you said, it makes you come out of there and go, wow, I want to know more. I'm going to look at this just a little bit different next time. So that's kind of
definitely.
All right, so it looks like we have everybody on board. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch over to this microphone for Jungle Cruise. If you want to listen to me through this or through your earpiece, you can listen to whichever. I'm going to leave both of them on, all right? So welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen, to the world-famous Jungle Cruise. And I'm going to go ahead and introduce you to the most important person here on the boat, and that is not myself. That is our Jungle Cruise skipper, Gary. So everyone say good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
He is going to be taking us through the Jungle Cruise, making sure that we safely get all the way back to our starting point, because I do not know how to drive a boat, okay? All right, so let's talk a little bit about the Jungle Cruise. Remember, like I said, this is going to be a little bit different of a Jungle Cruise. It's going to concentrate more on the history and heritage of how the Jungle Cruise became what it is today. and we're off. Now, the story of the Jungle Cruise starts way back in 1941. In 1941, Walt Disney and a bunch of his animators went to South America on a goodwill tour and took a bunch of his South America, took a ride on the Nile River on a huge steamboat, and said, "This is amazing. I want something like this in my theme park that I'm planning to build in 10 years. All right, so he was a forward thinker. He knew from a long time ago that he wanted to build Disneyland. Now, when you look around you here, what is the first thing that you see? Foliage, trees, plants, all that, right? Well, all these plants are actual and real tropical plants.
Number two, courtesy. Number three, show. And number four, efficiency. That is in the correct order, and you're going to want to remember that because there's a quiz later. So it's safety, courtesy, show, and efficiency. Now, can anyone give me an example of safety in the Magic Kingdom?
Ropes.
Security. The chains that keep you in specific areas. Those are very, very, very good examples. And those are all because we want to make sure that you stay as safe as possible. So with security, you're going to go through those security checks to make sure that nobody's bringing anything into the park that nobody needs to bring into the park. Also with the chains, they're there to help you stay in an organized and fashionably manner so that no one gets tripped or hurt or anything like that. Though I will tell you, when I work out at our window location, there are chains. If you've ever taken a look when you're coming into the park to the right, there are chains that kind of represent the queue line for it, and there are little kids who love to swing on those chains. And as many times as we tell them, do not swing on those chains, they never listen. And there's always one that thinks he can jump it. Yeah. His foot hits, bam. So it's kind of one of those where some days you're just like, oh man, okay, come on, it's okay, you're fine. And there are some days where you're like, I told you four times not to do that, and you did it, so look what happened. So, and sometimes it is those moments where you're just like.
Hey guys, this is Ed. And as we finish this week's show, I want to agree with Sam and Jimmy. The guys were right on as far as if you do go to Disney World more than once, maybe every couple of years, this is something you should check out. Any one of the tours, and even the Behind the Scenes tour, the one at Epcot in the greenhouse, it's really fun. It's only about an hour, and it's about $20. So it's totally worth it. Keys to the Kingdom, of course, I totally recommend that one. If you had to do any 5-hour tour, that was the best. So again, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed some of those clips. I hope we also didn't reveal too much this week. We want you to experience these things on your own because it's that much more special. So for Jimmy, Sam, this is Ed, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Kungaloosh. Quaharini.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee.